This is an encore presentation of Healthcare Rounds. Today, we're rebroadcasting episode 30, my conversation with Mr. Ramon Soto, Chief Marketing and Communications Officer for Northwell Health. This episode was originally uploaded on October 18th, 2018. Welcome to Healthcare Rounds, the podcast serving you the ins and outs of health policy and business topics, as well as our take on the rapidly evolving healthcare delivery ecosystem. I'm John Marchica, founder and CEO of Darwin Research Group and host of this podcast. To learn more about us, go to darwinresearch.com.
In this episode, John sits at the table with Northwell Health Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing and Communications Officer, Ramon Soto. Ramon talks about how his current role and his past experiences were integral in the recent health system rebranding from North Shore Long Island Jewish Health System to the now Northwell Health. Mr. Soto earned his Master's of Business Administration from Yale School of Management and is Six Sigma certified. He has been with Northwell since 2015.
So thanks for spending some time with me today. Looking forward to our conversation, Ramon.
A pleasure.
To get us started, tell me a little bit about your journey that brought you to Northwell today.
Northwell is the largest health system in the New York metro marketplace. And it's grown principally through, I'd say, probably 60% acquisition, about 40% organic growth over the years. And it used to be the old North Shore Long Island Jewish Health System. And as it's grown, the reality is it wasn't very good at telling its story. Even the name, its old name, North Shore Long Island Jewish Health System, was a byproduct of an acquisition and integration, really a political accommodation to get the deal done. The old scientific smush method in jamming two organizations together to come up with one name. And the challenge was the organization was realizing that in an era where consumers are more informed than ever in a much more customer-centric marketplace, they didn't have the tools or vehicles to engage with consumers in a meaningful way, both to tell their story, the value they created, why they should be a destination for healthcare in the fee-for-service world, and then in this value-based world that's emerging as well, how do we take the journey differently? So I had a conversation with our CEO. Oh, Lord, it was probably an eight-month dance, and one of the first articulations he had was this kind of vision of how marketing could really be a force multiplier and a driver of consumer engagement. And I had never heard anybody speak that way about the need to market differently. So it was very attractive to me, and my background, I'm a marketer's marketer. I was born in the agency world. My first job was with McCann Erickson. My second job was with Young & Rubicam on Madison Avenue. I learned my big storytelling chops there, integrated accounts, big brand campaigns. Then I spent a bunch of time at General Electric, where they were just experts at leveraging a brand to sell product and service, meet customers' needs. Then I got introduced to healthcare and spent probably over almost 11 years at Aetna in various roles. And ultimately, I became a senior vice president there and ran all their global marketing. So it's been a great 3.5-year journey at Northwell, bringing those skills here and mapping it with the market need and building a super strong brand in the New York marketplace. By the way, sorry for the long-winded response, but
No, that's great. I was going to ask you about your background as well. So you started talking about the rebrand.
Yes.
Is it fair to say that that was a consumer-driven process, that was a major factor in the decision to rebrand? And then, if so or if not, what are some of the other factors that were driving that rebranding decision?
Yeah. So it's a great question. The organization rebranded, I would say the consumer piece was only a piece of the equation. We had various constituencies that really needed to understand North Shore Long Island Jewish in a different construct. I'll give you a couple examples. One, North Shore Long Island Jewish Health System, it's seven words, I would argue a mouthful of marbles, but had been a very successful institution grown through this organic and inorganic process. The challenge was we were somewhat landlocked with the name connotation, but we were expanding fiercely into Manhattan, into Westchester, into Staten Island, into Queens, into Brooklyn, where the Long Island connotation of the name really outstripped its utility in being able to tell a story about health, a healthcare journey, and how this system could partner with that organization. In addition, it started really impacting physician recruitment. So, you know, if you're a doctor in Westchester, why do you want to work for a firm that's Long Island based? So we were hearing from multiple constituencies, hey, you know, this thing's encumbering your ability to go to the market successfully. And once you laid on top of it, the need to just speak to consumers very differently, it was very clear that we needed to go in a different direction with the brand of the organization.
So it's I'm going to get some flack for saying this, but it's my sense that health systems aren't intuitively very good marketers.
Yeah.
And that Northwell, just as an observer, has done a really, really solid job in your approach to the rebrand and how you're communicating the brand attributes. That said, how do you differentiate the Northwell brand? You're in a really competitive market.
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
So it's a great question. So I'll add to the incoming flack that's going to come your way and tell you that from my perspective, I think healthcare marketing and health system marketing, provider marketing in general, is terrible. It's probably 15 years behind the times. It's not very consumer-centric. It tends to be very either chest-thumping, accolades-driven, or I've seen a ton of selling hope through fear. You know, come to this institution or you'll die. And I'm not kidding. I've actually read copy that read very similar to that. And we purposely chose not to follow anybody in healthcare. You know, we looked at very consumer-centric organizations that had principally a digital bias. We benchmarked their go-to-market models and their branding approach. We brought in experts from Interbrand and from Monogle to help us along that journey to figure out how do consumers make decisions in building a relationship with the health system. Literally did quantitative and qualitative analysis, the quant stuff. We talked to over 3,000 consumers in the New York marketplace and did a driver's analysis that was discrete choice based, and we could rank order the importance of different attributes and capabilities that an organization had to build a relationship. And then in the storytelling piece, we strove really to move as far away from healthcare as possible. And interestingly enough, Amazon was one of the principal models that we looked to understand how they talk about their journey with consumers. And think of the commoditized industry that they're in and how they've changed the game on both interacting with consumers and showing their value. So that long story kind of truncates down to a value proposition that's based on innovation at its core. By the way, that's not unique in and of itself in healthcare, but we found, particularly in the New York market, it was the number one attribute that consumers were looking towards to build a relationship. So they're hoping for better outcomes, right? And interestingly, nationally, it's typically best doctors, latest procedures. In the New York market, it's actually innovation, best doctors, latest procedures, in that order, in terms of relationship building. And those are important elements of our storytelling. And then the question was, how do you do that? How do you tell that story in a unique and compelling way? So we go for a very heavy digital bias in what we do. Every day, there's 175 million searches that occur for health-related terms online. It's a crazy number. There's only 320 million people in the United States. So consumers are searching multiple times. Consumerism is here. They're self-educating. They're walking into physicians' practices more educated than ever. We have to be where they are in terms of that consumption and tell our story in a very relevant fashion. And then we really tried to change the mechanics of delivering that story. So a very optimistic view of who we are and what our relationship could be. Our messaging is almost populist. It is, we're the health system for the everyday person. We don't try to be elitist in any of our messaging. We try to be incredibly accessible with how we brand ourselves. And by the way, that's populist in the best sense of the word. And even the graphic look and treatment, we wanted our stuff to be, our content to be incredibly arresting, but visually look very different. So we use this parallax effect, this filming technique in how we develop our commercials and put them out in the marketplace. And then we do incredible rigorous testing. I monitor a panel of 2,000 consumers each month and where they are in their healthcare thinking. We copy test everything. We do head-to-head testing of our ads versus our competitors' ads versus other ads in other industries, just to make sure we're having that right balance of tone and telling this breakthrough, compelling story. And the results speak for themselves. We're at historic highs in terms of awareness. We hover at about 50% market awareness. I'm probably three times my next nearest competitor in terms of overall awareness in the marketplace. We think that's a function of breakthrough messaging and how we message. My likelihood to recommend scores are in the high 90s. That's from a low 80s standpoint when we started. Net promoter score for our tertiary care centers is in the 45 to 47% range. Brand perception is super solid. So we're in a good place in terms of the overall brand of the organization.
So do you think one of the things that distinguishes you as a marketer is your sort of relentless focus on these metrics? I mean, I talk to a fair number of marketers in your position, but I don't hear them using the same language that you're using. Do you think that it's important to measure everything that you do, or to measure some specific attributes on an ongoing basis?
I think if you're not a steward, if you don't know your customer, if you don't know what your customer thinks, if you don't know how your customer thinks, if you don't know what your customer thinks of you, and notice that I'm purposely using the word customer, not patient, you're doing yourself and your organization a disservice. The reality is we have to sit at the table of our leadership team, and we have to show them how to use the marketing discipline to advance the growth goals of the organization. So it's no longer an era where marketing was the place where content went to go get some lipstick put on it and make it look pretty. We really have to be a strategic partner to the organization. Do you understand the growth goals? Do you understand how an organization makes money? Do you understand the implications of payer mix? Do you understand what differentiates your institution from others? Do you understand consumer perception of your organization? Do you measure that over time? But by the way, those are all table stakes, and that's marketing done well is done exactly that way in other industries. I think this is where we arc back to my original comment, where healthcare is about 15 years behind the time, where an administrator wanted something to look good, so they throw an ad out there and stuff looked pretty. We spend too much on it now, and it's too important when fighting for market share is occurring on a fierce basis. It's a knife fight out there every day. And how do you maintain your ability to grab that market share and position your institution as a destination healthcare facility? You have to have the right mindset. You have to have the right skill set. And frankly, I'm more change agent than I am marketer, because most health systems don't understand the value of it. So I need to be educating. I need to be espousing. I need to be evangelizing what the right direction is. And how do you fight opinion? You fight opinion with data, right? So every clinician is a super smart person, and they have their own body of experience on what works. Well, that's intuition-based or business experience-based, but you can steer that in a different direction, and oftentimes a very positive direction with the right information to guide them. And that's understanding your customers, what makes them tick, what makes them work, how your content performs in front of them, and where your competitors are, where your competitors are going. It's really kind of, excuse the pun, it's this industry putting its big boy pants on, saying, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do it well, but we're going to do it for real. And I'm optimistic. I sit with a number of my CMO peers across the U.S., and I see many of them moving in the same direction because that's where the business needs them to be.
So, Ramon, I was just thinking of something. It reminds me of, I used to give a talk years ago called Trust-Based Marketing, and the examples that I would use, I mean, I believe that at the core of every brand, or at least part of it, is trust, right? I mean, people buy from people they like and people they trust. And I remember at the time giving a talk using pharmaceutical companies as an example, some of the behaviors that representatives would do. I would say, you know, is this building trust with physicians or is it taking away trust? So I'm curious about your thoughts of the role of trust, and if you agree, if there are things that you do that as an organization that helps foster trust in your consumers.
So I'm going to answer that in a little bit different way. I think trust is a super important ingredient, and it's going to be a component of what I offer from a content standpoint to consumers. But I think the payoff on that is the experience. So I work very, very closely with our chief experience officer so that, A, I'm not over-promising. Like if I say you're going to experience something, you come here, are you going to? Is it authentic? Does it ring true? And that there's a case study in marketing. It's that if you went to business school, you probably read it. I can't remember who the beer brand was, but bear with me for a second. It's either Pabst or Schlitz, and they came up with this just fabulous campaign, and they saw their case sales rise incredibly. It was really breakthrough work, and it had risen to historic heights. But it was almost this inverted V shape. They saw the case sales crater almost below where the run rate had been before they started the campaign. And you're going to ask yourself why. And the reason is the campaign drove people to try the product, but at the end of the day, it was still Pabst or Schlitz. You know, it was terrible beer. Now I can get people to try, but is the product a superior product? And are we delivering on what we say we were going to do? And to me, that is the trust component, that what I say is authentic to who we are and that you come to us and you experience this exceptional care. By the way, I think that is important but not sufficient, because the reality is in the New York market, consumers have an embarrassment of riches in terms of competitive choices. New York Presbyterian, fabulous institution, fabulous care. NYU, fabulous institution, fabulous care. Mount Sinai, fabulous institution, fabulous care. Even on the island, Stony Brook, really, really solid healthcare. There are good choices for consumers to make. So how do you then differentiate yourself on top of that? And that's where the storytelling and being a student of how consumers make a decision, applying the science of marketing to marketing. Most people think marketing is judgment, like what looks good. There's a ton of math behind it. And if you do it well, you understand it and you try to execute in that regard.
So the new name with well in the name, North Well.
Yes.
I get the feeling of wellness. Is that something that you're trying to communicate, that North Well equates with wellness rather than what's often referred to as sick care?
Yes. So thank goodness you got that inclination. I'll tell you a little story about the process of coming up with the name. So Northwell had been trying to change his name for 7.5 years before I got here and had burned through three chief marketing officers. And it's a large institution. It's 23 hospitals and 66,000 employees. And it requires a degree of political skill mapped with a good knowledge base of how to do this to even have a 50% chance of success. So we hired Innerbrand to help us on the naming side. They purposefully analyzed every aspect of our business. And from that analysis, thematically came up with categories that we could go down in terms of naming convention. we even analyzed historic naming of health institutions in the United States. Turns out there's like six conventions that are out there in terms of how institutions name themselves. Some are very obvious: religious affiliation, location, benefactor. And we looked at about 600 names at the top of the funnel, all these avenues that met a baseline of criteria. We had a high kickout factor because we applied very stringent legal criteria to the naming process. Ultimately, we got to about 15 that were viable. We got to about 7 that the executive committee of the board that was helping with me with this process thought were appropriate for our institution. Then we did a ton of market research against those 7, which ones were the right platforms to tell the story. And Northwell turned out to be really a best of breed. So remember, I was talking about being consumer centric and populist accessible, which coin names tend to be inaccessible. They're devoid of content, so you got to fill them with meaning. It takes a bit more marketing to do that. Northwell, out of the gate, 2 words, 1 brand, 1 concept. North is, it is born with all this rich storytelling ability for us to use as tools on how to communicate the value that we create. So I can take a journey with a consumer. There's a connotation of destination, ascension, partnership, even the concept of kind of true north, like this, there's this one direction to go.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, true north.
And then there's the second part of the name, which is the well piece, which honestly is a signal to where all of healthcare has to go to, which we don't want people in our institutions. I don't want somebody to come to my hospital. I want to keep them out of our institution. So it's the signal of taking the journey with consumers in a very different way. And it also helps that North Shore LIJ was our former name. North is a bridge to the old name and really helped grease the skids on acceptance and understanding in the consumer marketplace for the new name. And it's worked incredibly well. And we're doing a ton in the wellness space to make it authentic and bring it to life. One small example is how we're using as an institution food as health. We're the first health system to hire a Michelin star chef as the chief chef for the health system. He's completely revamped how we prepare foods. Fresh foods to begin with, a bias for organics, locally grown, partnerships with local farms and manufacturers to reduce the cycle time and the freshness of those foods into the hospital setting. I hear the lobster ravioli at Lenox Hill Hospital is incredible, and that we've seen a direct correlation with an increase in customer satisfaction with the changing of the dietary process that we've espoused as a health system. We've also revamped how we feed associates because we want them to be nourished as they're providing care. And we have a huge effort to deal with food scarcity. The fact that in the New York market, there's something like 2 million people who don't have access to adequate food to sustain themselves. Those are all wellness issues that lead to challenges in delivering care that we have to, as an organization, work much more upstream to get the downstream benefits of those interactions. And it's an interesting topic too, right? So it feels natural to have the conversation. It's accessible. It's, I think for the first time, obesity rates in children have peaked and some things seem to be coming down slightly. It's a place where I think the consumer's mindset's at, and it has worked incredibly well for us as a platform to continue to tell our story.
So, Ramon, what are your key strategic priorities as a marketer, and how do they tie into the broader goals and strategic priorities of Northwell?
One of the first things I did when I got here was, and by the way, I had the benefit of being able to speak the healthcare language because of my days on the payer side. So my years at Aetna really prepared me well to come to the provider side. But I really tried to be a student of what were the strategic goals and priorities for the organization, and then how did marketing support that. So for Northwell, scale is super important. Health insurance organizations, the payers, they're getting larger, and if you're not at a sufficient size to negotiate with them, you are at a competitive disadvantage. And let's face it, compensation is life's blood to an organization. Secondly, I have never worked for a more mission-driven place. Michael Dowling, our CEO, really believes that putting the people who use our service at the center of everything we do. We're a purpose-built 1% margin business because we reinvest everything into the delivery of care, into the understanding of science to really advance medicine. Third, we really need to advocate for innovation that is going to fix healthcare at its core. And unfortunately, none of that is really coming out of Washington these days. So there's this belief institutionally here that we need to be at the forefront of care, very innovative in it as an organization, from the routine things to the extreme things. How do you reinvent the small as well as do those moonshot rocket science projects? So we're literally reinventing things like bioelectronic medicine, where you attach a computer chip to your vagus nerve so that the body can stimulate the production of chemicals that put whole disease categories into remission. And we're literally the fathers of that science. Down to really looking at the small touches of how a customer experiences our institution when they walk in our four walls, first touch. So a lot of broad goals in terms of an institution. And I boiled all those strategic objectives into three core elements of our mission for Northwell. And they're very simple. To drive consumer awareness and engagement. So Michael is going to set the tone of who we are, and it's my responsibility to tell the marketplace who we are. So consumers need to be aware of us, and notice that I said consumer awareness and engagement. It's not enough that they just read my ad in the New York Times. We want to interact with them. We want to touch them. We want to have a relationship with them. We want to engage with them in a very different way. So the that actual engagement component is super important to our mission. The second bucket is to drive thought leadership and reputation. That's both for consumers and for the types of world-class physicians and researchers that we're trying to attract to our organization. And the third is to drive volume. So the reality is we have to fill our institutions with those consumers who are seeking services. They have to know who we are and that we provide superior care in the New York market. And thus, we have a whole host of tactical programs to make sure that our facilities are operating at the top of their capacity. And that's it. Super simple. Everything we do is geared towards that. And we tell that story to, we focus those three priorities at the consumer marketplace, towards our peers, towards our board members, towards those in the philanthropic community, to our physician communities. They just come out a little bit differently based on the constituency.
So about half of our listeners are in the healthcare delivery world, and then about half are from the pharma biotech world.
Yep.
And I'm curious if you have any thoughts about a health system or a large health system's relationship to big pharma, and whether there's room for higher level strategic partnerships, and if so, if you've made any inroads in that area.
So I'm going to answer that from a marketing side and then from a business side. On the business side, absolutely. So think about the populations we serve. Northwell, we provide patient care to 2 million individuals each year in the New York DMA, the most diverse DMA with DNA in the United States, right? So think of the populations that live in Queens or Brooklyn. And part of the challenge on the pharmaceutical side is clinical trials testing to diverse populations. So we've struck up strategic partnerships. Cold Spring Harbor is a great example, the birthplace of DNA, literally. The father of DNA started that institution, and they do a whole host of clinical trials that ultimately lead to new remedies in healthcare, principally because of the diversity of the patients that we serve and the volume of patients that we serve. So I think there's a ton of room with pharma. They're interested in our science. They're interested in our access. They're interested in the volume of who we serve in the marketplace. Secondly, on the business front, even new science, things like that bioelectronic medicine that I talked about, pharma's super interested because it's a substitute for pharmaceuticals. It moves us away from pills, bottles, capsules, orals, infusibles, and introduces this whole new schematic of medicine. And frankly, if they think of themselves, they have a choice. They can think of themselves as traditional pharma or in the industry of providing therapeutical remedies. And if they take that broader perspective, there's wonderful opportunities for us to team with them on new solutions. I would say on the marketing front, here's where I'm a little bit more of a skeptic, only because I see a lot of the direct-to-consumer marketing that's done out there to steer and accelerate usage of particular treatments. I don't know that that's always in the benefit of consumers. It certainly is a way to drive revenue. You know, is Humira the right solution for anybody who needs a biologic? And is that the role of the pharma industry? Should that be the role of the physician? I would debate that pretty hotly. So, you know, kudos to them. They figured out a model that drives volume and is a bit consumer-centric. I mean, they know their customers very well. I don't know if it's the right place from a systemic standpoint to execute. And I'll think about it a little bit more. It's a somewhat provocative question. But we seem to be at different places on how we're communicating and what we're trying to communicate to consumers.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of direct-to-consumer. I think that pharma benefits, agencies benefit.
but
I don't think I've met a physician who says that they're necessarily a good thing, or that they're educational. I mean, they're designed to drive traffic.
You know, absolutely. Obviously. And look, they're smart business people and they do it well. The downstream impact is at what cost?
Right. Very, very true. So this has been a treat. Ramon,
I've enjoyed the conversation.
Value this time. This has been terrific.
Not a problem. And invite me back anytime. The more provocative, the better.
Well, I'm sure that this one's going to get great reviews. Again, it's been great, and look forward to talking to you again sometime in the future.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on board.
Take care. From all of us at Darwin Research Group, thanks for listening. Please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Healthcare Rounds. If you have a topic you'd like to see covered in a future episode, please email us at podcast@darwinresearch.com. And if you haven't already subscribed to our weekly strategic brief, go to darwinresearch.com and subscribe today. See you next round.